Amen. Peace of Christ, Hope College. Happy Monday. We start week three. We are now in rhythm. It's good to have a rhythm, unless you're like me and you have no rhythm, but to find those patterns in your life. One of the things that I'm really grateful for is that many of you have made this a pattern, made this a rhythm as you begin, and I want to continue to encourage that. I want to encourage it because of what happens in here. Here we open up the book that we love and we eat it and we consume it. Here's a spiritual truth that is forever the truth, no matter where you go or what you do or how old you are. If you want to know God, to grow in God, you have to study. You have to internalize the Word of God and live it out. If you want to know God, you want to grow in God, you've got to study the Word of God and internalize it in your life in such a way that it metabolizes into acts of love and cups of cold water and healing and evangelism into all of the world. This right here is one of the greatest sources of your life. It's the book that we love, the book that burns and is never consumed. Every page is a letter to you. It is beautiful. It is the school of the Holy Spirit. It is where we get our vocabulary of faith. The bush burns, the grass withers, and the flowers fade, but the Word of God stands forever. If you want to grow in your faith, you want to know God, you've got to open up the book and you've got to love it. John Calvin, the godfather of Reformed theology, says, Scripture is like a pair of spectacles which dispel the darkness so that we can see God clearly. And that's what we're trying to do here in chapel. Here we believe that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. All Scripture is God-breathed. The goal of opening up the book is not that you know more, but that you become more. We believe that the more we can know and understand about God, the more we can know and understand about ourselves in this world God so loves. So the Bible is really, 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 really important to us. If you don't have a Bible, we will buy you a Bible. Go get ye a Bible. Bring your Bible, take your Bible, use your Bible, take out a pen and underline the Bible, tear out the page and eat the Bible. I don't care, but you need to get yourself a Bible. Because if you want to know God, grow in God, you've got to study and internalize the Word of God so that you can live it out in this world. Now here's the caution. The Bible's not something that you master. It is rather a reality that masters us. When you open up the book that we love, the bush that burns and is never consumed, there are no experts, only and ever beginners. Even the best biblical scholar, when opening up this book, is nothing but a child playing at the seaside sand before the expansive ocean of the triune God of grace. And so I want to invite you into this space to open up the Bible and to read it at the coffee shop and in the dorm. If you want to know God, and my friends, God is worth knowing. You got to have the Word of God. And as we step into this year, I want to invite you to study with us a particular book of the Bible. One of the things we like to do is called Lectio Continua. We take a book and we study it through the year. This semester, we're going to look at 1 and 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy to begin with. The Bible, you know, is made up of the Old Testament and the New Testament. There are 39 books in the Old Testament. There are 27 books in the New Testament. 1 Timothy is in the New Testament. It's in the second half of the Bible. It comes just after 1 and 2 Thessalonians and before 2 Timothy and a little book called Titus. 1 Timothy is the 53rd book of the Bible. The first part of the New Testament is made up of what we call Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then we have these letters, these epistles. And those epistles transform into these pastoral epistles, and Timothy is one of those. It's a letter written from an older Christian to a younger Christian. It's written by Paul somewhere around the year 62 AD to a young disciple, Timothy, who was converted by Paul's preaching around his first missionary journey. Paul's been discipling Timothy for many years, and Timothy's going out on his own to do some church planting and to be a young Christian leader. And so this letter is written from an older Christian to a younger Christian as a word of encouragement. Let's listen to the opening lines as we step into the book that we love. Here, the first verse, first chapter, first verse of 1 Timothy, reading through verse 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. To Timothy, my loyal child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I urge you, as I did when I was on my way to Macedonia, to remain in Ephesus so that you may instruct certain people not to teach any different doctrine and not to occupy themselves with myths and endless genealogies that promote speculations rather than divine training that is known by faith. But the aim of such instruction is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Some people have deviated from these and turned to meaningless talk, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make assertions. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. It's written from an older Christian to a younger Christian. I love this. I love how it begins. The letter opens with Paul writing to his young friend Timothy. I love how Paul describes Timothy in the opening salutation. To Timothy, my loyal child in the faith. Paul is someone who has invested himself in the life of this young man. He writes like a father to a son, my loyal child in the faith. You might call Paul a mentor to Timothy or a coach. And one of the things that I have learned in my life, particularly as a Christian, is that mentors matter. To have a Christian mentor means that you have someone you trust to help you navigate the dangers, the experiences, the questions of faith that come. A wise mentor is a guide into a deeper life with God. A good mentor is someone who speaks the truth but speaks it in love. A good mentor is someone who can help you avoid the dangers in life because they have been there and they have done that. They know where the rocks are and how to steer clear. They know how to shoot the rapids. They know how to negotiate the currents of grace safely. Mentors matter. I am who I am because of the people who have invested in my life. Various people at different seasons have been mentors, have been coaches to me in my faith, and I am incredibly grateful. And one of the basic lessons that Paul wants to communicate in this letter to us is the simple encouragement that we are not meant to go out the Christian life alone. We're not meant to be by ourselves in this. We're meant to journey together. It's a terrible thing, isn't it? To feel alone, to feel all by yourself, to feel like no one really understands, to have all of these questions in your heart and your soul, and you don't know where to go. You don't know who to talk to. You're meant to talk to someone. You're not meant to figure this out by yourself. I love this quote by one of my favorite pastors and theologians, Sam Wells. In his book, Improvisation, he writes, of the 64 times that the word saint appears in the New Testament, every one is in the plural. Saints assume community. They assume, demand, require community, a special kind of community, the community of saints. Heroes have learned to depend on themselves. Saints have learned to depend on God and on the community of faith. The church is God's new language, and it speaks not of a country fit for heroes, but of a commonwealth of saints. Meaning, my friends, that you are not meant to go at this Christian life all by yourself. 1 Timothy encourages us to have a mentor, to have a coach, to have someone that you walk alongside and ask your questions. Do you have one? If not, I want to encourage you to pursue one. They're all over here at Hope College. They're your professors and coaches and staff members. They can be chaplains and RDs. They're elders maybe at your local church, or maybe a mom you met at the coffee shop. They're those that come alongside of you and encourage you in the faith. Now, I do want to encourage you to choose a mentor carefully. Not everyone who wants to be a mentor in faith is actually a fit Sherpa into the high country of the Trinity. And how will you know who a good mentor is? Jesus says that when discerning leadership, you will know them by their fruits. And if you don't have a mentor right now, let this letter, let the word be a kind of mentor. Come talk to us. We will help you get hooked up with someone. But we want to encourage you to have a mentor, to have someone who is going to help you navigate this life of faith. It's interesting that one of the first things that Paul encourages the young Timothy to pay attention to navigate, is his thinking, how he thinks about God. Did you hear that advice that Paul gave Timothy? It is good and trustworthy advice. Paul encourages Timothy to take doctrine seriously, to challenge those that are teaching false doctrine. Now, doctrine's one of those words, I get it. It's one of those words, especially in the church right now, that's fallen on hard times. Doctrine simply means a set of beliefs or teaching. And the reason why the word doctrine has fallen on hard times is that because it has a reputation for dividing rather than unifying. People disagree on points of doctrine, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, which I actually think is a really interesting question, but people argue about this. And because we don't want conflict, we stay away from it. And so we view doctrine as something that is potentially dangerous or divisive or harmful, though I often think that this has less to do with doctrine itself than it is the people handling the doctrine. That doctrine is on hard times is unfortunate because we need it. It's a gift to the soul. Doctrine teaches us about who God is and what God does and what God desires from us. We need more doctrine, not less. We need to get more serious, not less serious. Otherwise, the Christian faith is simply degenerating to a sharing of feelings at the coffee shop. And anything impacted by how much caffeine you have in the morning may not necessarily be a reliable guide for you to navigate the paths of faith. And the real reason we need good, solid, trustworthy Christian doctrine, says Paul, is because it is a path towards love. That's the point Paul is trying to press to Timothy. But the aim of such instruction, he writes, is love. Love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. The aim of doctrine is love. The whole point of this Christian life is to be a lover. Don't you just love the love? I love me some love. That's what this whole thing is about. Good teaching should lead to good love. Now, God's love is not a romantic notion. It's not a puppy love where love means anything goes. God's love is about telling the truth, but doing so with kindness and gentleness. Doctrine leads to love, but the love of God is not accepting of everything. It's not puppy love. Did I tell you this summer we got a puppy? This is my puppy. Yeah, isn't that nice? Those are my loves. That's Kristen, and that's my daughter Ella, and that's our new puppy, Ebi. Who doesn't love a puppy? I love the puppy. Yesterday, the puppy took Mama's shoe and ate the shoe. I love me, my puppy, but sometimes you're not allowed to eat the shoe, particularly Mama's shoe. So we had to show the puppy some tough love. We had to go inside the crate. We had a little talking to the puppy. My point in this is we love the love. We love the dog, but not everything that the dog does needs to be affirmed. Doctrine is a way of telling us, don't eat the shoe. Don't do this. Do this. Sometimes we need some practical advice in this way of faith so that we don't find ourselves on the rocks. Here's the punchline. We open up the book of Timothy, and he encourages simply this. He encourages us to be in relationship with those that can help us, encourage us, breathe life into us. Look around. These people are all over here at Hope College. Find ye a mentor, somebody who is going to help you, encourage you, walk with you. And while you're doing that, begin to put yourself on a path where you learn who God is. You take doctrine seriously. You open up this book and you begin to study it, internalize it, so that you can live it out. Because what the world needs right now is not more Christians with more information in their heads. What we need right now are Christians who are better lovers, lovers of this world God so loves. Amen. Go in peace, my friends. We love you.